You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au. Morning, everyone. Happy Easter. God lagana gana mayora tampinti panayata matanya puki unanku. God lutampinti gana mayora purupurana pankara wamagana gana kunti yarta. That is the Garna acknowledgement of country in the Garna language. Garna language doesn't translate well into English. The closest translation I've been able to achieve from a friend through that is this: we acknowledge the Garna people. They are the landowners from a long time ago. We recognize the Garna people are still alive. The territory of the Garna Plains is exclusively Garna land. Are there any other notices that didn't make the print version? Then we'll begin. I just to remind you, you can catch up with all of our services on the Expanding Horizons podcast site. It's also available on iTunes. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can check out the wonderful job the boys are doing with Adelaide Channel 44 Community TV.
Come in a variety of colours, shapes, sizes. Some of us grow in bunches. Some of us grow alone. Some of us are cupped inward, and some of us spread ourselves out wide. Some of us are old and dried and tougher than we appear, and some of us are still in bud. Some of us grow low to the ground, and some of us stretch towards the sun. Some of us feel like weeds sometimes. Some of us carry seeds sometimes. Some of us are prickly sometimes. Some of us smell, and all of us are beautiful. What a bouquet of people we are.
Thank you, Barbara. Good morning and welcome to our service of worship. It is a service because it means to serve you. And it is worship because it raises to worth things that matter. And today is a rather special service. Today is one of a handful, small handful, of secular liturgies unique to Unitarianism, known as the Flower Communion. Don't worry if you're a visitor or just forgot to bring a flower. We always have more to share. And there's some in the foyer if you want to grab one. My name is Rob McPherson, the minister of this church, and I welcome you here on behalf of the generations of Unitarians who have worshipped in similar gatherings in South Australia since 1854. We are a spiritual community that encourages and supports all who come to find, to fashion, and most importantly, to follow their own spiritual path, any path that helps you see more clearly, love more abundantly, and work toward a better world for all. You're invited to kick on with us after the service for morning tea and conversation. Let's join in singing our opening hymn, So Simple is the Human Heart. Please stand as you're able.
A little sun, a little rain, a soft wind blowing from the west, and woods and fields are sweet again, and warm within the mountain's breast.
The Unitarian Flower Communion, which we're about to observe, first happened 96 years ago. It was conceived by this man, Dr. Norbert Čapek, founder of the modern Unitarian movement in the former Czechoslovakia. As with our flaming chalice, there's no one orthodox interpretation of this flower ritual, but generally, the beauty and diversity of flowers is taken to reflect the beauty and diversity of life itself. Beauty in nature, of course, we spontaneously respond to, but the diversity of nature may require an awareness to accept and to cherish. In this ritual, various unique beings, both flowers and people, come together in this liturgy to create a unique bouquet. You part with and are given a flower by really anybody in attendance as a sign of human acceptance and sharing. Dr. Čapek's original service was intergenerational. All of the adults and children of his church in Prague came together in this colorful expression, the life-affirming principles of our Unitarian liberal faith. Compare it, for example, to the Christian communion and the bread and wine that it uses. Instead of consuming the work of human hands, we gather in and lift up and share the extraordinary fruits of the earth, flowers, examples of the abundant and diverse and delicate glory of the garden of the world we have been freely given. Flowers are one of life's necessary unnecessaries, as someone said, things of beauty that make life worth sustaining. And in drawing together and valuing flowers of different shapes, sizes, colors, textures, and scents, we are reminded that we are called to more than the cheap grace of merely tolerating differences, but to the harder work of pluralism, seeing and loving and honoring the sacred in all things, to bind up all in a vision of unity. Now, this may seem idealistic to us, but in Dr. Čapek's time and place, in mid-20th century Europe, that vision of unity and strength and diversity was a politically dangerous one, and it remains so today. Because if diversity is raised to worth, is itself sacred, how shall we construct a social order in which some are awarded greater worth than others? If diversity is honored, how shall we decide whom to exclude and to demonize as being of less worth and dignity than ourselves? Who, in short, shall be us, and who shall be them? Dr. Čapek's life-affirming Unitarian gospel of the inherent worth and dignity of every person was a threat, then as now, to the powerful blusterers of his day, those who would divide and rank people as more or less worthy, and through that division and ranking, control them by sowing fear and hatred. As proof of the danger we raise in honoring diversity, when the Nazis took control of Prague, they immediately decided Dr. Čapek was, quote, too dangerous for the Reich to be allowed to live. He was arrested, sent to Dachau, and gassed within a year. Although this gentle and generous man suffered a cruel fate, still his spirit rises every year and all over the world in this message of hope and decency and beauty of this simple Unitarian ritual. So for us, it is a noble and meaning-filled Unitarian tradition we are about to recreate. Now, this service includes translations of the original prayers written by Dr. Čapek himself to recall the principles and vision for which he lived, for which he suffered, for which he died, and by which he lives on with us today. So now, I'm going to ask all the children in the house, all of our young Unitarians, to gather up quietly as possible all the flowers that people have brought, and we're going to put them in this vase while Brendan plays. Ask you now to join me in singing our next song, Bring Flowers to Our Altar. The tune I think you'll know. Please stand as you're able.
Bring flowers to our altar to show nature's beauty, the harvest of goodness of earth, sky, and sea.
Why should nature offer like a zillion varieties of just one sort of vegetation? Flowers. Why should that be? The poet and writer Annie Dillard says, imagining you're creating a lovely new planet. You want there to be vegetation, something to keep soil from washing away, store solar energy, give off oxygen, and reproduce itself so you don't have to anymore. Wouldn't it just be simpler to roll out and lay down a bit of homogeneous carpet of green stuff? Just one great big carpet of green stuff. Why so many forms in nature? And bear in mind, of all known forms of life, only 10% are still living. Nature just seems to go off on millions of wild tangents simultaneously, flowing wildly, surging freely in a mixed-up tangle. Nature's sheer creative exuberance seems to have no other explanation than a love of variety, a love of diversity, for its own sake. Could there even be such a thing as beauty without contrast? Dr. Čapek saw in the common wildflowers of his native Bohemia a glimpse of a deeper, underlying, binding, life-affirming unity in the diversity of the natural world. There is, from his religious studies, evidence of a kind of transcendental Hinduism in his vision of the source of life joyfully breaking into the creative world in a dazzling and unending array of diverse forms, so that nature and we with it are all different faces of one being. Many masks of one big self, each of us longing for a return to the warmth and contentment of that wholeness, each of us like a coal drawn from a larger fire. And this, of course, is how we lose sight of the good that is given us. Our many diverse forms makes us break up and come apart, with each seeking salvation for themselves, and we turn against each other, light and darkness, strife and love. Yet as with the flowers' apparent difference and inherent sameness, for Čapek, it was all the workings of one mind, all the features of the same face. Čapek had this vision of unity and diversity that became the flower communion at a time in European history when moral and political power was being gained by trying to wipe out such entirely superficial differences as race, language, culture on that crowded continent. With Übermenschen and Untermenschen, us and them, high status and low, totalitarianism, both fascist and socialist, emerged in the middle of last century as a controlling authoritarian urge to, yes, homogenize the world by excluding those who didn't seem to fit a narrow vision of oneness, claiming them as less than human. This is fascist propaganda from the middle of the last century. And this homogenization to achieve a sort of grim peace through suppression of the diversity we see everywhere evident in nature and in human nature. Homogenization is not just unpretty, it's boring. And against the cosmic order, diversity of forms is the cosmic order. Cultural homogenization isn't about peace and unity. It is always about power and control and therefore violence. So I wonder if you can see how relevant this little ritual still is after 96 years, even for us, half a world and nearly a century away in multicultural, multi-ethnic, multilingual, multi-faith 21st century Australia. The same totalitarian, homogenizing reflex that claimed the life of Dr. Čapek and so many millions of others is alive and well here and now. Funny how we can love and see beauty in a vase of crazy, mixed up, different flowers, but when it comes to beauty in a collection of crazy, mixed up human beings, we don't want diversity. We only want our own type, dear. Even Jesus, on whom this feast day Easter is supposedly based, wasn't white, though we've homogenized him, made him as white as any milk. So diversity is not just about beauty. It points a moral direction toward acceptance, inclusion, pluralism, generosity, and the imagination to see past surfaces. But we know the totalitarian impulse is growing stronger around the world and here. We Unitarians historically have stood in resistance to anything that would demand conformity, exclusion, and treating people less than based on how they look, how they talk, and their country of origin. So the sharing of these flowers then encapsulates in a simple gesture who we are and what we UUs are meant to be about. Ingathering, inclusion, plurality, diversity, held together provisionally and gently, and from that gentle embrace of diverse forms comes an unkillable, evergreen hope that says yes to life as it is and living. Finally, the flower communion grace we enjoy, not just as Unitarians, but as human beings. Alive to the miracle that is living even so brief a time as ours in this insanely rich and abundant and varied world, gratis, even if you didn't bring one, to remind us that gifts of grace, gifts like Dr. Čapek's life service, gifts like our Unitarian Church, gifts like our lives in this incredible country are in no sense earned by us. Life's bountiful gifts are just given. Given. Just as, once upon a time, the grace of God was said to be. We cannot earn or deserve in this world that which is most important, that which is most important, life itself, love, grace, beauty, always comes as a gift. So may we be truly grateful for the richly diverse beauty of our lives this day and all our days. And may we, therefore, be generous in the spirit of love, the one and only blossom of true spiritual maturity. So I'm going to invite you now, while Brendan plays, to process to the front row by row. Let's start on the thin side first, and then go to this side row by row, and take one of these harvests of flowers. I'm going to ask you to take the one you're given, select a different one, and give it to the person behind you. So we're not just coming up in a consumer orgy of grabbing, we share. Take the offered flower as a symbol of the beauty we did not create, of gratitude for blessings we have not earned, of gratitude for joys which come unexpected.
Thank you.
I didn't write this, but one of the things I most love about the Flower Communion, which we do every year about this time, is how gentling it is to be selecting one such that it doesn't yank the whole vase of flowers out, and everyone becomes, their hands become like those of surgeons. And there's this sort of delicacy to people's movements, and I find a great beauty in that. We might find some stillness within yourself as we close with Dr. Chopek's Flower Communion prayer. In the name of the great mystery of life's diverse beauty, which implants in the seed the future of the flower, and in our hearts the seed of longing for people to live in harmony. In the name of the highest in whom we move, and who makes the mother and father, the brother and sister, the lover and loner, what they are. In the name of sages and great religious leaders who sacrificed their lives to hasten the coming of the age of mutual respect, let us renew our resolution sincerely to be real brothers and sisters, regardless of any kind of bar which estranges us one from another. In this holy resolve, may we be strengthened, knowing that one spirit, the spirit of love, unites us. And endeavor, may we, for a more perfect and more joyful life for all. Amen. Please join in singing our closing song for the beauty of the earth. Please stand as you're able. Today's benediction is given by Barbara.
Let's give thanks for the harvested bouquet of people that make up our church. We give thanks for the children, like tulips and iris, they multiply around us, making the world ever more filled with colour, beauty, and new life. May we bless them as they replant themselves ever further from us, knowing that they need their own space to grow into. We give thanks for the generous, as constant in bloom as echinacea, and whose gifts lift up our body and spirit. We give thanks for the feisty, as indomitable as geraniums, and for the perennials who, like ivy, hold on and never let go, and can never be gotten rid of. For the crotchety, as prickly as rose bushes, their beauty a secret that is only discovered through careful gardening. For the surprising, who at first glance seem dour, and then blossom into joy as quickly as forsythia. For the funny, silly as snapdragons, and for the serious, complex as chrysanthemums. For the comfortable, their gentle presence as soothing as the sweet smell of lilacs. For those who stand with us in stormy weather, who stand by us in hard times, like Lily of the Valley, that cannot be deterred by shade or shadow. For the elders, nodding like sunflowers in the evening time, and the young coming on fast as flocks. For those who love us, who wind around us like wisteria and embrace us, despite our blights, wilts and witherings. And finally, for the forget-me-nots, gone but never forgotten, their beauty lives on in our memories and hearts. For this harvested bouquet of people who brighten our lives each in their own way, may we be truly thankful.
Amen. Have a great week.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.